So we are starting a new series tonight called Aftermath, as we're talking about what happened in the days after Jesus' resurrection. Tonight we're going to touch on right as he's ascending into heaven, but we talked a lot about how he was preparing the disciples. He was preparing them to be the church. He was preparing them to be better disciples, to be pastors, to be missionaries, to love everybody. And so as they knew all of this was happening, you saw how they dealt with the crucifixion and how they were worried and how they ran and how they were scared and how some betrayed him. And then when he came back, they felt joy. And whether or not they truly understood that he was going to leave again, they still understood that he was there. And so I'm going to go to Acts 1, verses 1 through 11. In my first book, this is Luke speaking, in my first book I told you, Theophilus, about everything Jesus began to do and teach, until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving his chosen apostles further instructions through the Holy Spirit. During the 40 days after he suffered and died, he appeared to the apostles from time to time, and he proved to them in many ways that he was actually alive, and he talked to them about the kingdom of God. Once, when he was eating with them, he commanded them, "Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised. As I told you before, John baptized with water, but in just a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So I've talked about God's plan before and how he made it in such a way that we would be able to go through it in the way that kids, as they learn how to walk, as they learn how to talk, as they learn how to be people, go through all of the steps of that. And so it started with the beginning with all of these rules. And the rules were there because otherwise people would have no idea how to follow it. Because if Jesus had just come to the beginning to the early church with Moses and everybody and said, "Hey, love everybody and really go out there," a lot of them would have been killed, and they also wouldn't have understood. Because all around them, religions were sacrificing people and sacrificing them in a lot of ways. But they were doing things to blood sacrifice and to do all of these things. And they were doing a lot of bad stuff. And so they needed these laws to be able to say, okay, this is what makes us different. This is how we are different. This is how we can change. This is how we can see God by living like this. He was essentially helping them to develop morals in a world where they did not really exist. And then as that kept going, Jesus came. And Jesus came to show people, hey, it's about the relationship with me. It's about being like me. And so he came, yes, to sacrifice himself on the cross and to take our sins with him to give us a chance to heaven. But as much as that, he also came to show us each day, this is how you live. This is what it looks like now. And so instead of having this 650 or 670 laws, however many there are, he's like, this is how you live. This is what it means. And he said things like, love God, love others. This is a summary of all the laws. This did not mean don't follow them. It didn't mean don't live like that. But he's saying now it's not just about the checklist. Now you don't need this checklist. You can understand that if you love each other and you love God and you show them what I show you. And so he went day by day healing people, helping people, talking to people, listening to people, and doing all of these things that he knew we could copy, that he knew we could learn from, that he knew we could be. And as he continued, he went through the plan, and he died, and he came back, and then he started telling the disciples, hey, this doesn't mean that it's over. This doesn't mean that it's all the finished. What happens now is the Holy Spirit is going to be here. And so you're going to feel like you're on your own sometimes, but the Spirit's going to connect you to me, and he's going to connect you to each other, and you're going to have this powerful feeling that allows you to know you're not alone. This powerful feeling that allows you to find the fruit of the Spirit in yourself, to find the ability to move forward, to find the ability to be like him, to find the ability to love each other. And so he tells them, hey, you're going to be baptized in the Spirit. You are going to be kind of the first wave, the new missionaries, the new church. You're going to go out and you're going to do what I did. And he even told them, you're going to do greater than me. He didn't mean that they're going to all die for people's sins, although all of them but one died for the faith. But he meant you're going to be able to go to more places. You're going to actually start churches. You're going to teach so many people because Jesus essentially stayed in the same basic area for his 3 years, and that wasn't because he couldn't have gone other places. It's because his goal, his hope, was to train them, to train that area, to get it started. He could have done everything, but if he had done everything, then nobody else would need to do anything, because it's like, well, Jesus already did that. And so he did what he did to give them a chance to follow him, to give them a chance to go from him, to give them a chance to have the Spirit, to start churches, to do what they could. Going on. So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, "Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom?" He replied, The Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And so the disciples knew that. So that question kind of shows who they were still. They loved him, and they had faith, and they'd come back, and so they knew that he was their Savior. They'd seen him defeat death, but they still had some misunderstandings. They still were people. They still were imperfect. And so all along, one of the things that I said about both Judas and Peter is they had this view of the Messiah, this view of Jesus as making a kingdom on earth, as making everything perfect, as stopping all of the evil, as taking down Rome, as walking up to Caesar and being like, hey, I'm in charge now, and doing all of these things. And so up until when he died on the cross, they all probably thought he was going to get down from the cross and do that, because they misunderstood that his kingdom was in heaven. And again, it's not that he didn't have the power to do those things, but it's that he had more, because if you look at eternity, it's obviously impossible because it's infinity, but if you look at it like this is eternity, you can't even see our lifespan because eternity is so much more than that. Like our lives, even if you live to be 150 years old, are really, really short when it comes to an infinite amount of time. And so he's like, I could do this. I could do this on earth. I could make this peace on earth for you, but eternity is so much longer, and that's what you're living for. You're living to go towards that. You're living to help people see that. You're living to show people what that's going to be like. And so even after he came back from the dead, they're like, okay, is it time now? Because he talked a few times about the second coming, and they're like, is it time now? You're going to take us. You're going to really make this heaven on earth. You're going to change everything. You're going to make everything good. You're going to restore the kingdom. And he's like, guys, there's so much more to be done. And part of the reason for that is because God wants all of us to choose him. He knows, obviously, that not everybody's going to choose him. He knows that some people will turn away. He knows some people will run away. He knows some people will fall away. But it's that love for us that keeps time going. It's why the plan extends. Why, whatever the end point is, that doesn't change, but we don't know it, and why it seems so far away. Because the more time there is, the more chance we have to help people get there, the more chance we have to show people what it's like to be like Jesus. And so the disciples, they're like, okay, this is going to be soon, right? And Jesus is like, no, it's not. You've got to do this. You've got to start the church. You've got to start something. You've got to show people that it's possible to live like me, even if I'm not on earth. You've got to show people that it's possible to be a church, to be Christian, to love people. You've got to go and spread the word outside of this area. You've got to go and spread the word outside of this faith. You've got to talk to everybody and love everybody and help everybody to see me. And so they're all listening, and they're all thinking, and they're still probably thinking, okay, so he's probably talking 10 years, 15 years, right? And again, it's not that they weren't listening, it's that we don't think in terms of eternity like God does, because to us, everything has a beginning and an end, and everything is essentially short. Now, it feels long sometimes, but for the most part, everything happens within a few years for us. Even when you're starting school and it feels like, man, I have been in middle school for forever. The amount of time between middle school and the end of college isn't all that long when you put it across the rest of your life. And so sometimes it feels long, but still, if you look at it, you're like, okay, this isn't that bad. And so the disciples think of it like that. They're like, okay, so maybe we'll be middle-aged, maybe a little older. But Jesus is like, guys, don't worry about it. And that's why Revelation is the way it is. That's why it's not exact. That's why there aren't these things that you can specifically look at. There obviously are mentions of things that we can see. And it's like, oh man, this is going to happen, or this happened. It's clearly in the end times. It was written like that. It was given to John like that so that we would always know that it could happen anytime. Because if we knew exactly when it was, most people, not everybody, but most people would kind of just wait until close to the end and then they'd go do stuff. And God's like, that's not how it goes, because your life is something that matters more, and you can help other people to see that it matters more. Right now, with the eclipse tomorrow and everything happening, there are a lot of people that are like, oh, well, this is clearly the end. Like, this is obviously it. And they kind of ignore the other eclipses that have happened. But again, it's because in our hearts, we have this desire to go home. We have this desire to be in perfection. We have this desire to be closer to Jesus. And even if we don't word it right all the time, we're thinking that, we're feeling that, especially Christians. And so instead of being like, okay, I can't wait for this. I can't wait for the end. I can't wait to be in heaven. We should look at it and be like, okay, I can't wait to help other people see the way to heaven. I can't wait to help other people feel like this. I can't wait to pass this along. I can't wait to minister to people, to help people, to love people, to listen to people, to show people who Jesus is, to be like him. The title of tonight was Yesterday, and the reason for that is there's a song sang by Boyz II Men back when I was a kid, which technically was written by the Beatles before that, but still I like to think of Boyz II Men as the one that created it, called Yesterday. And it's, yesterday all my troubles seem so far away. Everybody that you talk to, the older they get especially, but everybody that you talk to will say something along the lines of, when I was a kid it was better. The shows were better, the music was better, the time was better, the world was better, the country was better, my hair was better, whatever it is. Like, we say things like that, we think things like that. It's always the good old days. And for different people, it means different things. For Rob, he's referring to the 20s. For me, I'm referring to the 1800s. For Micah, he's referring to like 10 years ago. Like, whatever it is, like, we refer to different things because the good old days are kind of when we really felt the best about life. As we get older, we start to see things that annoy us because we're not the center point of everything anymore in our minds, because we start to understand that there's a bigger world than what we have. And so that song kind of emphasizes that all my troubles seem so far away yesterday. The disciples are probably thinking like, man, yesterday we were walking around with Jesus and everybody hated him and that was awful, but we were kind of just there. Like, we were able to see him and learn from him, but we didn't really have this pressure. Like, he did all the stuff. And that's why he left. That's why the plan was for him to go into heaven and for the Holy Spirit to be there. Because God was never leaving us alone, and he wanted that connection, and he wanted us to have the Spirit. But also, if Jesus just kept living and kept doing everything and had established it, we're going to be like, Jesus knows more than me. I'm going to let him take care of this. Like, I'm going to let him minister to those people. And instead, God's like, I want you to feel what it's like to be able to minister, to help people. And so the disciples showed us that. We get to do that. Last part of the scripture. After saying this, he was taken up in a cloud, Jesus, while they were watching, and they could no longer see him. As they strained to see him rising into heaven, two white-robed men suddenly stood among them. Men of Galilee, they said, why are you standing here staring into heaven? Jesus had been taken from you into heaven, but someday he will return from heaven the same way you saw him go. So the promise is there. He will come back someday. We have no idea when. That doesn't matter. The winds, the hows even, those don't matter. What matters is that it will happen. That he will come back, that he will save us, that he will help us, that he will establish heaven on earth. But what I think is most interesting is I wonder how long the disciples would have stood there just staring up at the clouds if not for the people that had shown up. And God knew that, and he's helping them along, and he's showing them the next steps and everything. But I wonder, would they have stood there for hours just waiting? I remember one time, I unfortunately play Fortnite, and I remember one time they ended the season, and it ended with a black hole. And like it was, they were establishing a new map and a new world and everything. And people, there were reports of people sitting with their screen like that, as everything is just a black hole and like it's still kind of moving, for 6 hours, for 18 hours, all the way up until it started, because they kept thinking, okay, something's obviously going to happen because Fortnite's a multi-billion dollar company, and so it's not going to end like that. But when? And so they're like, if I go now, I'm not going to be the first to see it. Like, I'm not going to be the first to see this happen. And so they kept watching. And then after a few hours passed, I'm like, man, maybe it's not going to be today. But again, I can't chance that. I got to sit here and watch. I got to wait because eventually this is going to be this new map and this new world and new weapons and all this stuff. And I just got to watch it. And then after a day passes, it's like, man, maybe I've wasted my time, but I've already given this much. And that's where it kind of flips for us. Like, we'll go to, I'm going to wait and see. And then it's like, I've already waited this long. I have to keep going. And God knows that. Jesus knows that. And so the disciples, they would have waited, being like, okay, he said he's going to come back. Let's see if it's in a couple minutes. And a couple minutes passed. They're like, let's see if it's in an hour. Let's just wait. And had the white-robed men not said something, they wouldn't have stood there and starved to death. I'm sure that they eventually would have gone on. But we live our lives sometimes like that. It's like, I'm going to wait and see what happens in this situation. I know that that person over there is in pain. I know that that person over there is hurting. I know that that person over there needs help. I'm going to wait and see if somebody else goes in. And I'm going to wait and see a little bit longer. And then after a while, it's like, man, I've already waited too long. I can't go now. And we live like that sometimes. I've told the joke several times, but I like it. Where you have, let's say Rob, because he's here. Rob is on the roof, and there's been a huge flood. Everything went horribly, and the whole town is flooded. And Rob is on a roof waiting to be rescued, and he's praying hard. He's saying, God, please help me to get off of this roof. Just pull me off of this roof. Put me into safety. And a guy in a boat, a motorboat, goes by. And he's like, hey, I've got room for one more. And Rob's like, no, go on. I'm praying to God. God's going to handle this. And the guy goes like, dude, we got room. Like, come on, it's going to get worse. It's still raining. And he goes on. And then Rob keeps praying. He's like, okay, God, I know that you can save me. I know that you can protect me. I've been waiting for hours, and I've been waiting here, and I know you're going to come. And then a helicopter kind of flies over, and it's got one of those ladders hanging out. And somebody yells out on a bullhorn, and they're like, hey, we have room up here. This is the last way out of town. Like, everybody is already evacuated. We can get you out. And Rob's like, no, I'm okay. I've got help coming. God's going to come. And so the joke goes on to where Rob dies, and then, so not a funny joke right there, but he dies, goes to heaven, and he goes up to God immediately, and he's like, hey, what is the deal? Like, I waited for hours and hours and hours, and I died waiting for you. And he's like, I sent you a boat and a helicopter. So you see, we wait for the way, for the things to happen that we expect, that we want, that we think should. And we let all of the things that we could help with, all of the things that could be good for us, all of the things that we need, go right by. And after we've waited long enough, we start to think, well, I've always waited for this, or I've always done this, so I've got to keep it going this way. But the point of this story is to show us a bunch. It's to show us that the Holy Spirit is there. The aftermath of Jesus going back to heaven is that we have access to the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that Jesus had access to, which puts us not on the same level as Jesus, but with the same abilities to do things on earth, which means ministering, helping, healing, loving people, doing things like that. Obviously in different ways than he did them. But then we also see that he's telling the disciples, I'm going to come back. Don't worry. It's going to be a while, and you're going to keep waiting, but don't just wait. Don't just think about how easy it was yesterday. Don't just think about the good old days. Go out and do things, because the more you do, the more time passes. It's like in school. If you're looking at the clock and you're just sitting there and you're not working on anything, you're like, I'm just going to wait till school's over. The clock takes forever to pass. But if you are working on your homework, or you're reading a book, or you're playing a video game, whatever you're doing, time goes real fast. That's why people say time flies when you're having fun, because when you're doing things, you're not thinking about it. When you're not doing things, you're thinking about it, and so it feels like forever. And so in life, it's the same thing. Like, if you are just waiting for your life to come together, you're just waiting for a chance to be like Jesus, you're just waiting for a chance to go to heaven, it's going to feel like forever. But if you actually help people and love people and show people Jesus, that is what makes time go, and it's what makes time worth it. And so the aftermath of the immediate aftermath of Jesus going to heaven was us being able to minister like him, to minister with him, to take the examples that he set for us and then show those same examples to others. And that is something we can do regardless of age, regardless of time, regardless of where we are. And that's all I got.